the most important element that first comes to my mind is that project managers need to continuously be adaptive. And I don't mean in terms of just the project, but also in the project manager's perspective of looking at him or herself, and also then how to continue to adapt in terms of becoming and improving oneself as well. Not just in terms of the technical skills, but also then those soft skills as well. And I think then leading that project manager to be what I call the 21st century project manager.
Hello and welcome to the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast, brought to you by Nessel & Associates. Nessel & Associates is an ERP organizational change management firm serving the private equity industry. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Donald, the founder of Invert Ventures, a change strategy firm, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Dr. Jack Nessel, the founder of Nessel & Associates, and the host of the ERP Organizational Change Journal podcast. The ERP Organizational Change Journal seeks to share expertise, insight, and create effective conversation to help guide ERP organizational change to real, measurable, and verified success, expanding what we can see so we can act in a more effective way. We seek to promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community. The primary purpose of this podcast is to discuss, share, and reflect upon effective and efficient ways in which to realize ERP organizational change success. We will discuss the people, process, and technological components of ERP organizational change. This podcast is intended as a forum to study, share, and discuss ERP organizational change. We hope that you find this podcast useful as we share lessons learned, discover best practices, and explore the human elements and components of ERP organizational change. In this episode, we will discuss project management competencies and project complexity with newly PhD'd Dr. John M. Clark.
Welcome back, listeners. You're listening to part two of our conversation with Dr. John Clark. If you haven't already listened to part one, episode 34, you can find it at nesselassociates.com/podcast home. Let's get started. Dr. Clark, can you share with our listeners, what were your specific research questions that you wanted to investigate?
Yes, I had two specific research questions. The first question was very simply, to what extent do project management competencies predict project success? And the second research question was, to what extent does project complexity predict project success? And what I had actually done, my statistical technique for this research was a multiple linear regression. So basically what I was investigating then was not just the relationship between project manager competencies and project success, and also project complexity and project success, but then also to take that model to the next level in terms of integrating project manager competencies and project complexity, and also then how does that predict project success?
Very, very interesting.
Dr. Clark, absolutely fascinating. So you're doing multiple linear regressions on those two lines of questioning.
Correct.
And so what were your results? And then what was your interpretations of those results?
So it's interesting that you should bring that up. All right. So with the results, specifically, let's look at each of the questions, just the way that the results were analyzed using multiple linear regression. So when we look at the first question, to what extent do project manager competencies predict project success? They clearly showed that the use of project management competencies predicts positively project success. And I wasn't surprised by that at all. The literature had numerous pieces of research which continue to validate that, that shows that using project management competencies, yes, you're going to be then improving the likelihood that you're going to have success in the project itself and able to navigate realizing project success as well. When I then investigated specifically the question which then related project complexity to project success, the results from the multilinear regression came back as actually inconclusive. And I was beginning to wonder, okay, why is that the case? Why is it the case that I'm showing these inconclusive results with the second research question? And then I began to reflect on this, and this is all part of the doctoral dissertation process to begin with, but I need to go back and look at the literature. And when you consider then, even from my own literature review regarding project complexity, the results were mixed as well. They came back where I found there were some studies that said, yes, there is a negative effect. Some results came back saying, yes, there's a positive effect. And some came back and said, there's no effect. Or perhaps there is an inconclusive effect. So what I had written, actually, even in my dissertation, is that my results from this very simple multiple linear regression actually basically echoed what I had already seen from the pre-existing literature as well. But then that also then took it to the next level, which is where I think the real value from my research comes into play. So in multiple linear regression, then I started to then investigate specifically, okay, let's combine now project management competencies and project complexity, and then also relating that or predicting then project success. And then clearly the model integrating both those independent variables showed that, yes, you're going to be then realizing project success. And just like I did with the second research question, I began to reflect on, okay, what does this mean? What is the relevance of this? And I recall from some of the literature, particularly regarding navigating or perhaps maneuvering, dealing with complex projects, that there's ample evidence out there which clearly shows that the project manager and the project team have to be adaptive and flexible, and they also have to be working collaboratively together. And then by doing that, they're also starting to share ideas, different perspectives, and also that leads to them becoming more effective. The way I look at this and the way I argue about this is that then they become more effective at dealing then and solving problems as well, which is what I think then you're going to see in any kind of a complex project. And that if then you're starting to work together collaboratively, then you're going to improve the likelihood and predict then actually project success. And that is the real key message that's stemming from my doctoral research.
That's an interesting message, Dr. Clark. I truly appreciate your study. Just really interesting. My favorite question of just about any research, Dr. Clark, I would like to ask you as well. Being a practitioner, what would you say are any implications for practice based on your work?
Yes. So what's happened recently, just in the last 2 weeks, is that the 7th edition of PMBOK was released. I've had the opportunity to look at some of the parts over the last week of PMBOK. And it's interesting that some of the same points that are stemming from my research, in particular what I was just mentioning regarding then collaboration and also then creating an environment where there's going to be sharing of ideas and perspectives leading to effective problem solving, those are some of the same elements that I'm seeing indicated now in PMBOK 7. So one of the parts that I see stemming from just looking at from PMBOK 7 is that clearly the Project Management Institute is looking for and encouraging project managers to be thinking in terms of developing environments that are encouraging or supporting partnership and also encouraging then the sharing of ideas, different perspectives, rather than that previous, I think, mentality of being very static and very process oriented. I mean, there's those processes, I think, are still important, but they need to be complementing then really what are, I think, the way I describe them, even my dissertation, as those soft skills of being a project manager, and also to particularly be cognizant of the importance of the project team members as well. And I see that in several of the parts of the of PMBOK 7. There's some other implications that I see regarding my dissertation. I'll talk about those in a minute here, but if you don't mind me to divulge in this very quickly. When I looked at PMBOK 7, and again, I'm just really at the beginning of starting to dive through all this, but what they're doing is that they're breaking down PMBOK into now these management principles, project management principles. It's including, for example, stewardship, team involvement, stakeholder engagement. And when I look at these, and there are 12 principles, and as I was looking at then each of those principles, the ones that I particularly then began to highlight, and I'm still reading them right now, but team. And what it was saying in PMBOK, just as I'm saying in my dissertation as well, you need to create a collaborative project environment. Now, they also then give some models and also approaches to use, but I think one of the things that I'm going to start seeing as I continue to dig deeper into PMBOK 7 is that you're going to start to see some of those elements dealing with project manager competencies, soft skills usage, and also then leadership as well. As a matter of fact, leadership, I just haven't had a chance to read this yet, but leadership is one of the other principles. And I would argue that with leadership is probably speaking to the point of dealing with, again, creating an environment of partnership, of then also problem solving. And I also think, and this is one of the things that I had mentioned in our previous conversation, is that the project manager being a leader also has to exhibit then the model of establishing those expectations and also then those values as well. And I would not be surprised if the principles that PMBOK 7 is espousing to regarding leadership are also echoing that as well. There are some other things that are interesting. They actually have, believe it or not, complexity as its own project management principle now. So they actually indicate in here that we need to have approaches. I think they're trying to diverge away from this idea of processes. So we have approaches and tactics then enable the project manager and the project team to navigate. And that's the word they're using when they're associated with complexity, to navigate complexity. And again, I would state that the results from my dissertation are, they're supporting that. That if you then build project manager competencies as being the project manager and begin to apply those and use those with your project team, you're then facilitating the process of navigating successfully project complexity. They also have here as another principle, adaptability. Again, that echoes some of the tenets that I had seen in the complexity literature, where we need to be behaving. If you remember, I was talking about Ulbing's book on complexity leadership, that the complexity, if the project is a complex system, it's a complex adaptive system, and that the project team needs to behave akin to a complex adaptive system. And how do we do that? Well, we do that through then some of these points that kept on manifesting in my research also. Collaboration, partnership, knowledge sharing. Those are the ways that we can then begin to behave similar to a complex adaptive system. And then we can begin to navigate that project complexity and also then lead to project success as well. And then the last one I thought was interesting, they have as a principle systems thinking. Now, I know from the previous versions of PMBOK, when they're talking about systems thinking, they're talking about it in terms of looking at the project as being multifaceted, and also it has different types of perspectives which are going to be integrated together through the project manager, really into those different disciplines, which is why we looked at the project and with PMBOK specifically, those 10 knowledge areas and how they need to be integrated together. But I think what they're moving towards, I think those points are still important, but they're looking at it, it seems now, in terms of, again, what really started my doctoral research and even then the theoretical foundation for my research by looking at the project as an open system itself. And that then the project manager, and from what I've read so far in PMBOK 7, that the project manager needs to realize that the project has interaction then with, now probably not using the same terminology, but I would imagine they're indicating something similar to the fact of the project is then interacting with other open systems, which are either external to the project as a system or actually internal to the project as a system as well. This idea about thinking of the project as an open system, I think, is starting to become more present in PMBOK. When you read the preface of PMBOK 7, they clearly indicate as well that many of the best forward-thinking minds had come together, and also in terms of the latest in terms of research had come together to issue this PMBOK 7 version. And it does mark a departure from the previous versions of PMBOK. That's very clear from what I've read so far. And it does seem that the findings and also then what I'm seeing is also the recommendations stemming from my research are supporting what I do see as being evident also in PMBOK 7. So that, just to get off on a side point here for a second, we can certainly come back to PMBOK 7, but I do think there's a correlation between the two. The other part I see, and I actually think this is actually very exciting, maybe perhaps just to me, is that from my research, I think that I've shown that when the project manager is using project management competencies in complex projects, you're predicting then the likelihood of project success. But then that then begs the next question. How does the project manager develop those project management competencies?
Yeah.
And
right.
You know, if you remember, when we look at project management competencies, consistently, we're looking at project management competencies as being either hard or soft. Hard are going to be those technical skills, dealing, again, more with the traditional PMBOK, if you want to take a look at that from that perspective of cost budgeting, even your communication management plan, certainly your risk management plan. But the soft skills are what seem to be becoming more relevant now. And what this led to now, and I even indicated this in my future research opportunities, is, okay, how do we now begin to develop specifically those soft skills, those soft project management skills in project managers? I also think that's important to integrate as well then the project team members as part of this as well. So the finalization of my research, and I had also the opportunity to talk to one of my fellow professors at Herzog University, and she had suggested, this is a couple months ago now, that perhaps there are some very easy ways to start to develop project manager competencies, particularly those soft level types of competencies. Certainly, we have training, we have instruction. I also think that a main contributor to any kind of competency development is through the experience. I mean, and I don't think that's ever going to change. But she suggested, actually, perhaps the use of video games, or perhaps mobile games that we have available already on our mobile devices. And we did a little bit of just very cursory research, and we actually presented some of our initial findings last month at the first Project Management Innovation Conference at Herzog University. And what we're saying is that there is some opportunity to just take it from the perspective right now of just mobile games. We had showcased some of those typical games that are available, such as Fortnite. The Minecraft was another one that we had just very briefly looked into. And we start looking at what are some of the elements involved in those games. Like, for example, with Fortnite. In Fortnite, there are these creative modes. So you're dealing then with trying to think about strategically, how are you going to set up your base, for example. So there's some strategic thinking that's involved. There's some creative thinking that's involved. But then most importantly, you're working together in teams. You have different types of even call signs, different types of communication. Somebody seems to naturally become the leader of then the team itself. So some of the elements that we see present in project management competencies are also present in some of these games. So we're in the very early stages right now of looking at specifically now video games, and using video games as a way to develop project manager competencies in project managers and also in project team members. We had the opportunity also to speak, this is about a month ago now as well, to the director of eSports at Mount St. Mary's University. That's where I actually went for my undergraduate studies. First of all, he gave us some insight into what is the eSports arena. And he clearly saw as well that, yes, there is potential using the video game platform as a mechanism to start to develop project management competencies.
This is great, John, because I think that what you're saying, that this whole conversation is really around learning and development.
Yes.
And you know, we've had some really incredible guests on to discuss specifically that. And we'll put those in our show notes. But I agree. I think that whether it is in the sense of improving the competencies of the project managers themselves, or even within project management plans and teaching people, how do I articulate this? But, you know, as a project manager, part of your responsibility is effective learning and teaching in many cases, right? So yes. I think there's a lot of room, both in my discipline, ERP organizational change, and also in project management, to really learn from the field of learning and development. I think you're hitting on something here that's really interesting to me. And you'd mentioned, and again, my view is, and I think it's very consistent with what you're saying and many others in the field, that project management tactics, let's say in general, historically, have been very much process-oriented and less on the soft skills. And I think that some of the new principles in PMBOK 7, number one, are needed and valuable. And I think that that's where the PMI, as well as your great work, it's really pointing that out, right, even further. But yeah, just fascinating. I just had to say, this whole idea about learning and development, incorporating that into improving the field of project management, is really a fascinating idea.
And it goes back to really what was one of the purposes of why I pursued the PhD to begin with. I wanted to find a way to make the jobs of project managers easier and more effective as well. And I also saw challenges coming in terms of complexity, other types of related challenges dealing with globalization and so forth. And I thought that this is one way to begin to contribute and find these different ways. One of the things that I began to realize after even having some of these conversations with my colleagues at Harris University is that in addition to those predefined ways dealing with instruction and training, let's look at also this in terms of new ways or creative ways. The video games has some flaws. I think there are some other opportunities that are probably out there, is my guess. And what I'm encouraging others, maybe even others that are listening to this podcast, is to think about those other ways to perhaps start to develop those, not just those project management competencies, some of those other types of leadership skills in project managers and the project team as well. And I think that people are eager actually to start to become involved with some of these creative and new ways. For me personally, when I mean, certainly I value with training, but I begin to think, oh no, another training
Dr. Clark, can I jump in here? Because I'm listening to your response, and there are so many times where I just want to throw my hands up and say, yes, why haven't they asked you to, you know, consult on the rollout of PMBOK? I want to highlight to our listeners for a second to make sure that, because I feel like this is a really long, in-depth answer, and I want to make sure we have all the parts.
Sure.
And then I have a follow-up question for you.
Yes.
So my understanding is, going back to the core of the question, was that your research revealed that there's clearly a relationship between project management competencies and the probability of success in complex projects.
Yes, exactly.
Even though, as earlier established, there's a different definition of complexity that other researchers have.
Correct.
And so it sounds like to me your contribution to this is actually being incorporated in real time with PMBOK 7, recognizing these principles and moving away from a traditional linear approach heavily dependent on process to a more open system, adaptive system approach. And with does that capture it? Somewhere?
Yes, that exactly captures it. It's almost as if I had some advanced knowledge, and I didn't, about where I knew PMBOK 7 was going to be headed. I honestly didn't even know that they were going to be upgrading PMBOK until, boy, about the last 9 months into my doctoral studies. So I'm a corporate faculty member at Harris University. They shared what they knew already. Right? PMI was being very, and I understand why they're doing this, but they were being very secretive with what was going to be contained in PMBOK 7. But they would give these little hints periodically. And we also have another, interestingly enough, he got his PhD the same place I got mine, Dr. Mann. He had started to investigate, okay, what do we know about PMBOK 7, and then he certainly shared it with us as well. I had some sense about what was going to be talked about in PMBOK 7, and it was even to the point where I thought, boy, if I could really get my hands on some of the the parts of PMBOK 7, I wish I could put those then into my research as well. Because they were so secretive, it was really next to nothing I could get. Certainly there was no literature that's available as well. Now, my guess that since it's now been literally published, we're going to start to see within the next couple months some literature that'll be available regarding PMBOK 7. But I think you have an excellent point also about, as people are going to look at this, that they have this idea of, like what you mentioned. You mentioned about looking from either a linear process, which is what we look at from a traditional perspective, and now more of a nonlinear perspective. Honestly, it was one of the reasons why it actually decided to investigate complexity.
I think because, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Go ahead.
I think it's going to tie to this, right? So if that's the core change, so I'm listening to this from the change leadership perspective, which is you're asking a discipline to go from a process orientation with PMBOK 6 to a recognition this is an open architecture. We need to be adaptive. These principles are your tools. And my mind is the process you're using to try and set those up as you explored or, you know, training and development or video games. And as Jack well knows, we've had many experts on this program from learning and development. And one of the things I ask them almost every time, and they say it in some other way, is none of them are particularly happy about the level of impact of learning and development on organizations. And so the scale of this transformation, as I understand it, of going from process to open system, from managing in a linear mindset to viewing yourself as part of an ever-changing complex team, living in multiple organizational contexts at once. Correct. To me, that feels huge. And so I'm really curious, what do you think the implications are for project managers as a discipline, as a role and as a function, for them to even sit with the implications of PMBOK 7?
Yep. So one of the things I've been saying to my classes for the last couple of years is that the role and the importance of the project manager is going to continue to escalate. And I am more firmly resolved in that sentiment now than before, not just because of my doctoral research, but also because of what I'm seeing also in PMBOK 7. And what I mean by that is that I think even if you look at it in terms of how project management has matured over the last several decades, I think the project management was looked at as being very linear at some point in time. And then they had associated and built then these best practices dealing with processes. But then we started to see that there was also this emphasis on, or need to be this emphasis on the human side. And then once you start looking at it from the human side, that's when we start to see that the project is not just isolated in itself, it's part of a much bigger picture. And that's what then leads to this idea of also about systems and systems thinking. What my fear is, though, is that you're going to have people that, first of all, they're very confident and very knowledgeable in the process side of project management. And this marks a departure from that. It's not this diminishing what's already been done. It's now building it and taking us now to the next level. That's the way I'm looking at it. So the knowledge that people have and the confidence people have in the previous versions of PMBOK, for example, or the processes and the tools and the tactics that are used in project management, they're still there. But also they need to be now integrated into, and I see this already in some of the stuff I've read with PMBOK, integrated into the environment, the context of the project itself. And one of the things that they're emphasizing also, and this is thanks to Dr. Mann, because he had mentioned and started talking to us about some of these things, is that a main thrust of project management going forward in PMBOK 7 is this idea about decision-making. Actually, maybe to the point of, think about this for a second, that the project manager can actually, maybe even eventually soon, be considered to be some type of a decision scientist, all right, where that individual is analyzing the project circumstances, analyzing the system itself for the project, the context of the project, and then based on then that analysis is deciding on not just the course of the project, but also then what types of methods to use. What are some of the approaches to use? How can I then engage with different stakeholders, my project team members? All of those are, first of all, they're adaptive, and also they are relative then to the context and the circumstance as well. And I think that's the other part they're trying to mention also in PMBOK 7 regarding systems thinking, trying to understand the context of the project as well. And that's going to lead then to our deciding, even this point where, like, for example, in the previous versions of PMBOK, and again, I think this is maybe where I suspect there may be a little bit of a misunderstanding on some people's part, is that in the previous versions of PMBOK, they, particularly like in PMBOK 6, they introduced Agile, and that Agile was a different, more adaptive type of project management methodology. And when I first started hearing, okay, well, PMBOK 7 is going to be coming out, that's what I was hearing. Oh, it's going to now integrate Agile. And what I've seen so far and what I suspect is that it certainly Agile is present and it's also important, but that's not the thrust of PMBOK 7. The thrust of PMBOK 7 is to, first of all, to understand the system as a project, and also as part of that, what types of analysis and what factors are important in deciding, am I going to go with Agile? Am I going to go with a hybrid? What kind of hybrid? Or am I going to go with a traditional project management style? And that I need to be also integrating my team and my stakeholders in making those decisions as well. Yeah. And that's what I think are some of the parts that are coming out to PMBOK 7. And I also think, I sadly suspect, I don't have any evidence to support this, but I sadly suspect that some people are going to continue to think of project management in terms of that linear process approach, and that we're going to then start to see a divergence. You know, and I started thinking about this that in some types of projects, maybe in some types of organizations or industries, maybe that's fine, that it's more of a traditional linear approach still.
But, Dr. Clark, I want to pause you there because that's an interesting comment. So for me, you know, my view is that project management needs to be more of a cross-discipline function or field, right? A discipline.
Yes.
And, you know, like you and Jonathan both said, I mean, you look at where these other fields have come in the research, you know, over the last few years, there's a lot to learn from each other. And that's certainly the case in my discipline. You know, you look at leadership and you look at organizational change and culture or leadership and development. There's a lot of room in the PM model, you know, whatever you want to call that, the project management discipline, to learn from those disciplines. And I think that to a degree is what PMBOK 7 is doing. It's saying, hey, look at, you know, we'll call them soft skills, but all these other factors that make projects extremely complex. Now it's time to really start focusing on those, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, so to me, I think it's great. I think that PMBOK 7, I think your work is really demonstrating that, you know, just like many fields, let's not live in a silo. Let's learn from each other and let's apply effective and efficient learning and development techniques, for instance. But I want to back up to what you just said.
Yes.
Are you saying that despite PMBOK 7, that there could potentially be these traditional PM process-oriented, linear kind of thinking, a traditional view of doing project management, and it's going to kind of be that course? Is that what you're saying?
I think there will be a part of the project management field or discipline that's going to be still oriented more towards a linear type of an approach.
This is just interesting. But you're saying then, despite what PMI is saying, and despite the attempt that PMBOK 7, the goals of PMBOK 7 with the addition of these other principles, that there are some that aren't going to find those useful?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because honestly, and the reason why I'm saying this is because when I start thinking about who makes up a project manager, who is a typical project manager, I would think it's going to be somebody who's going to be very process-oriented and also has many years of already experience working with people, certainly working with people, but not to the point where now they're beginning or asking them now to open their minds or look at these things a little differently. That is something that I think I was fortunate to have with going through the doctoral process. I needed to do that anyways, but it encouraged me to look at things from a different perspective. And I don't think if people have that impetus to begin with, or have that experience to go through, that they're going to remain then looking at things traditionally. Perhaps a little bit of this also is when I started to hear about Agile and start learning about Agile, I began to see that there were some organizations, I know about some organizations that started to use Agile because it was the buzzword. It was the thing that everybody else was doing, right? Without really understanding how it's fundamentally different from traditional linear types of project management processes. And I also think that in some of these organizations that they still water it back down to a more of a linear type of an approach. And I can see that even with these new concepts, PMBOK 7 is marking a completely different way of defining the role and also I would think the importance of the project manager. I still think there are going to be some people who are thinking that a project manager is more of a like a coordinator, making sure that the triple constraints are going to be met. As I even indicate in my research, the definition of a project being successful has diverged from this mentality of it. Is it going to be meeting or satisfying the triple constraints? It's much more than that, much more complicated than just the if you're going to be meeting the triple constraints. Matter of fact, you can have projects that are not even meeting the triple constraints that can still be considered successful.
So to your point, for those people that may not be receptive to this idea, you know, and so you maybe you have these traditional thinkers, as you had mentioned. In that case, it just seems to me like, you know, those would be the folks that think the world's still flat in a sense, right? Where, you know, show me the proof. Maybe there's a little bit of that. And the other reason that if people don't adapt these principles that PMBOK 7 would represent or that your work suggests would, and the reason it wouldn't get applied is, again, it's back to a learning and development thing then. It's just learning and understanding what it really means, what those principles are, what the value is. And to get people heading in that direction is really, it's a matter of education and learning and development, is it not?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I still think, again, going back to one of the focus points of my research was on complex projects, this idea about then defining what is a complex project, I think there's still multiple schools of thought regarding that. And I think that actually is going to complicate this even further. I mean, again, PMBOK 7 does indicate about, yes, there is project complexity and it does have relevance.
Sure.
But then I still think that people have, and I just think it's because it's the phenomenon itself, because it's adaptive and it's elusive, that everybody's definition of complexity also is morphing and changing also over time. I also think some of this is also based then on one's own individual experiences. So,
Dr. Clark.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm worried we're going to lose the thread of complexity, and if I can ask you a challenging question.
Absolutely.
It sounds like you're saying to me that PMBOK 7 represents a fundamental shift of what it means to be a project manager.
Yes.
And the way I experienced that interchange between you and Jack was, well, what's going to happen to the discipline? There might be industries or areas where they don't respond to the full range of options now available in PMBOK 7.
Right.
So what I'm curious about is let's now explore the lens of complexity in relation to this.
Yep.
Because I can, certainly from a change function, there are some changes that are simply more complex than others. And so the level of complexity for me in change determines the level of adaptiveness by which I need to show up. And
correct.
I wonder, you know, that flexibility, that hybrid approach in project management that you referred to. I noticed when you said that I had some tension in my hands. So I've met a lot of project managers who hear the word sort of flexibility around process and I see them start to sweat.
Yes.
So, you know, can you talk about this way of being in project management and how do you get project managers to understand we fit the tools to create the results you want in complexity? Because I think that's the question you're creating. I just don't know how to ask that to project managers in a way that they're receptive.
And I think that, again, this goes back to this traditional way of looking at project managers more such as coordinators. I'm just going to get the job done. I'm going to make sure the triple constraints are going to be met, right, by hell or high water. Instead of then thinking about, let me engage with those team members, get their ideas, get their perspectives as well. And I think that part of the reason for the struggle is because project managers are thinking about, okay, what's worked well for me individually? Have I been, in the past, have I gotten projects done because I've made sure that everybody stays within their hours on a weekly basis and that I'm going to meet the budget? Or is it because I engage my team members and got their ideas and how to do things better? And I would argue it's going to be the former, that people are going to be looking back to their past experiences. And I also think part of it is also because of how people are being trained to be project managers as well, which also, I think, opens up the possibility of there's going to be new ways of not just looking at the project, but also how to train people and instruct people. I mean, the video games is a nice idea, but I also think there has to be some other ways as well on how to encourage, and I think is what you're getting at, how to encourage project managers, and I also think project team members, to start thinking about how do I collaborate, how do I work with my team, rather than making sure that I'm on my budget, you know, that I'm meeting then those constraints, which are, again, they're still important, but they have to be taken into context of then what is the purpose of the project and what is the context of the project as well. I think that's why there's going to be this struggle. And I also think, again, that this is showing a real departure from what we've seen in the last six iterations of PMBOK as well.
Interesting, for sure. I think, John and Jonathan, I need to reach out to PMI and see if we can arrange to get them on as guests along with Dr. Clark. That would be fun.
I think that would be an awesome roundtable.
I agree. I remember what I said, that in the first few pages of PMBOK 7, they indicate that this is based on the contemporary current thinking of project management and from the best researchers and thinkers in the field today. Yeah. So, yes, and I would love to be a part of that, to discuss with the PMI specifically these ideas that I think are going to become more relevant as well. Obviously, there have been people in PMI who have also identified this and also think that this is going to continue to become more relevant.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Clark, let me ask you if it's probably maybe at least my second or third favorite question when it comes to asking people about their research. So what's your recommendations for further research? You mentioned that earlier, but I'm going to ask you explicitly. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so certainly the one area that I'm looking into now, and again, this is with one of my colleagues, Dr. Dyson at Erskine University, is we're looking at in terms of video games as a mechanism to improve project management competencies. But she's also introduced, and I need to be starting to think about this a little bit more, also just internally, is this idea about emotional intelligence. And I know there's been a lot of research with emotional intelligence for the last couple decades, actually. But what's interesting is that, first of all, the field of emotional intelligence seems to be becoming more well-defined right now. And for me, coming from a quantitative research perspective, that's telling me maybe ways to measure this and measure now the effectiveness of using certain types of approaches from an EI perspective. So we're thinking about maybe how does EI actually work in complex projects? And then it's interesting you asked me this question because just last night, as I was looking at PMBOK, it was really the first time I had a chance to start digging into it and what's contained in this as well, is I started to think about maybe some other areas that could be relevant for either for writing or for research. And one particular was with risk and uncertainty in PMBOK 7. And I think that that's actually an interesting area for further research. Some of this is also fueled by the fact that I teach risk management. So I have some affinity to the field to begin with. One of the courses that I took in my doctoral studies was looking at risk in terms of from uncertainty and actually in terms of then uncertainty management principles, dealing then with what they call PUMPs. It could be a way of actually maybe even looking at complex projects, that because there are some of the same attributes with complexity and then uncertainty, particularly dealing with ambiguity, perhaps some sense of invisibility or invisible forces as well. And the approaches or tactics, this is even something I was even thinking about with some of my doctoral research when I was really just starting to conceive the research design, was could uncertainty principles be used or applied to complexity? So that could be another area for future research. The other was this idea, some of this is also being influenced by this this idea that Dr. Mann had also indicated to us about the project manager being a decision scientist. That sounds intriguing to me because, for one thing, it certainly shows the role of the project manager is continuing to evolve, and I also think becoming more and more significant as well. One of the terms that I had used in some of the blogs that I was writing when I was starting to write down some ideas regarding my research was I was using the term the 21st century project manager. And I'm beginning to suspect that this idea about being a decision maker or decision scientist is a part of being a 21st century project manager. So I think that there's some interesting areas for perhaps research going forward. Just yesterday at Harvard University, we were talking about, we like to look at some other opportunities. We're actually building or developing right now our own peer-reviewed journal. And I initially thought, okay, well, certainly the research I'm doing with Dr. Dyson, that could be maybe one of those first peer-reviewed articles in the journal. I mean, I still think that's going to happen. But we were also starting to think about, okay, what about writing Justin and perhaps project management magazines or articles? And I started thinking about these areas, in addition to research, perhaps just writing about them, that they could be areas for just more thought provocation in the future as well. And as I'm talking about these things, you mentioned before about, okay, how do we get people into that mindset where the role of the project manager is changing and evolving and also looking at it from more of a soft skills perspective? And some of this is fueled by the fact my doctoral studies in the doctoral process is that get people to read. And I do think that once people begin to read about these things, they start to think about these things as well. And yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be in a peer-reviewed article. And this is where I'm thinking there may be some value in starting to write about these things, even outside of research, outside of the peer-reviewed scholarly journals, because that's attracting a particular mindset. I mean, it's most likely attracting then researchers and people from the academia world, which I think I'm now part of. But I also still have a part in the practitioner role as well.
But
I'd like to see about that.
Yeah, Dr. Clark, that's great, right? I think that you, and I think as well as myself and Jonathan, were heavily engaged in the research, right? And yes. Understanding the research and even doing the research. But I think that me as a practitioner, as a research practitioner, I would say, but especially as a practitioner, it's part of my job to share and to apply this research. So it's not just about the research and the peer reviewed. It's about sharing and communicating and collaborative learning and just sharing that within your practice. So at some point, for me, at the end of the day, the value of the research and the work that you've done and our colleagues in this area are to apply it to where it can really make a difference, right? And that's within organizations.
Yep.
I think there is a place for the blogs and the podcast and there's all these different avenues and mechanisms to share this great information. Absolutely.
Given your experience as a professor, a practitioner, a newly minted PhD, when you think about this world and project management, your research, PMBOK 7 and the change there, and you would distill your years of wisdom and research down into 3 or 4 sentences. So something a practitioner can remember when they're on the field in the middle of a complex project.
Yes.
What would you say to people who are in ERP organizational change or transformation?
And what Dr. Clark, I'm sorry, Jonathan. I just want to say this is really probably my favorite question and Jonathan's favorite question. And it's one of the most difficult to actually answer because all of our guests have incredible experience and insight. And, so the challenges here is just really picking, just really thinking about those 3 or 4 sentences that really are succinctly say, hey, this is what I want you to learn from my work. What would you say?
Yep. This is that index card answer.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. I think we can do this.
But this really is my favorite question. And sure. We do like to challenge our guests because I love learning from our guests and their insight. And this conversation has just been absolutely so much fun. But yeah, if you were to distill, if you were to tell Jack Nessel and Jonathan Donald, who are practitioners and we're out working with teams every day, what can we learn from your work and your experience?
Yeah, the most important element that first comes to my mind is that project managers need to continuously be adaptive. And I don't mean in terms of just the project, but also in the project manager's perspective of looking at him or herself, and also then how to continue to adapt in terms of becoming and improving oneself as well. Not just in terms of the technical skills, but also then those soft skills as well. And I think then that, then leading that project manager to be what I call the 21st century project manager. And to really to embrace that mentality. And I think then we are then setting up our project managers to be successful in this challenging, I think, century.
Great insight. Great point. Dr. Clark, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. It's just been a fantastic conversation. And again, just a reminder for our listeners, this was a two-part podcast. So, you know, we truly appreciate your expertise, your experience, and your insight. Dr. Clark, we will definitely have you back on again and most likely in some panels. So please be prepared for our invite.
Absolutely.
Thank you on behalf of Jonathan and myself and Nessel and Associates and the ERP Organizational Change Podcast. Really, thank you so much. I really enjoy your work. We'll be in touch.
Thank you very much. And thank you for having me. This has been a wonderful experience for me as well. Thank you.
You bet.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, thank you for joining us on today's episode. We are incredibly excited and grateful to have friends, colleagues, and mentors join us on our podcast. We have an incredible lineup of guests, including ERP and organizational change speakers, authors, professors, researchers, pioneers in the field, practitioners, PE partners, business executives, ERP vendors, and organizational stakeholders. We invite you to leave us feedback and a review because we want to make this the most useful and insightful podcast you listen to. And we need your help to do so.
Thank you, listeners, for being with us again this week as we seek to, one, promote, connect, and foster relationships in the ERP organizational change community, two, contribute to the field of ERP organizational change, and three, bring research and practice closer together. Please join us again next week as we discuss the latest ERP organizational change research, practice, and stories. Our podcast will draw on knowledge from extensive research, collaborative learning, and practitioner expertise and experience.
From everyone here on the team, Jack, and myself, we wish you a great week, and we hope to see you again soon on another episode.
Hashtag the ERP Organizational Change Journal. Have a fantastic week.
Bye for now.